radio question. Continue 24, maybe. And this last statement there, you know, just simply thinking of Krishna, and it's profound to me. And this Saranagati, which is really simply about coming to the point in one's life, in one's development, in one's heart and mind and intellect, where one says, you know, to Krishna, as I am saying here, to Shishikandarika Giridhari and Gunitai and Guru Parampara, you know, you are my only reality, my only contact with reality, because you are the reality. I'm completely depending on you, and I can completely trust you. So please just lead me. Please just hold me and protect me so I'm not, you know, tripping into the ditch. You know, of course I'm blind. Unless you open my eyes and keep them open. That's how a devotee thinks. And this is just completely, well, it should be natural for all of us. And I guess it was more natural for people back in the older days when religion was more still dominating the lives of, like here in Sweden, practically everyone. And that's how they pray to God, I guess, not just for things. Give me this, give me that. But yeah, because otherwise, and I think maybe that's how we Swedes are, and are known for, we can have doubts about everything and anything, and doubting ourselves, and can't be convinced enough about anything to make it enough worth the work of doing it. I think that's some kind of syndrome for some people here in Sweden. Correct me if I'm wrong. Indecisiveness and self-doubt. Oh, look at that person. He has a lot of self-confidence and he's getting successful. And yes, but not me. He's like that, but I'm just me. I doubt everything about myself, therefore I can start some little projects, but I can't maintain them because I start doubting myself so much, so I give up. But you know, this is something that where you, there are no doubts anymore. I mean, I guess that's what they call nishta in Sanskrit. You just realize this is reality. Radha, Krishna, God, Goddess, this whole cosmos as it's explained there in the Bhagavatam, but which is valid all over the world, it's just reality. And, you know, I sometimes have met Christian people or people of different religions, but mainly Christians, since I grew up in a Christian country. Some of my schoolmates were like that. They say, you know, I have faith, I have belief. completely 100%, and we would try to, you know, of course, argue with them and make them question that belief system and so on. We couldn't, you know, that's how we others were. But, you know, as I can see them defending that, you know, that this is the truth, the only truth. I know it. But, you know, then there is someone sitting in another religion, they're saying the same thing, and that it's Christians, they don't know, they're talking about the error of the devil, and so on, which I always thought was ridiculous. But that's not what we're talking about here, full faith in the Hindu God or something. But in God and Goddess, first of all, that little bit deeper understanding of God, not just as some masculine emperor on a throne, ruler of everyone and everything. But as a couple, that is one, but at the same time, two. Isn't that nice? Male, female, and the whole dynamic of existence is the love between them, those two. And that's the love that is beaming out from them and is there in the hearts of all of us too. And that's why we all seek love. Need love, sing about it, think about it, desire it, want to give it, want to live in it, because that's the fundamental, most fundamental principle of the whole existence. Doesn't that make sense? So where does evil come from? Well, it's when we lose touch with reality and drift into our own fantasies where we are God and we think that the purpose of existence is for me to gratify my senses, and then it's not called love anymore, it's called lust. And that leads to anger and greed and envy and all kinds of things there. But that's just a dream, because that's not reality. Only reality is for real. It's Maya. Maya means illusion, and illusion is not for real. So what we're talking about here in this verse, also how it kind of concludes, is yes, when we see and realize that this is reality, God, Goddess, you may sit in any other country speaking any other language, having any other names for God and Goddess, because generally all over the world divinities are both female and male, and the female is even more respected. Or someone said, Prabhupada saying, we only worship Krishna because he's the boyfriend of Radha. You know, it's a beautiful understanding of God when you get over that first surprise and alienation, you know, philosophically or theologically, what's going on here? Such a different understanding of God given here. But then others will find something from their own culture that is very similar. And I spoke to people from all kinds of different cultures and religions who, when they are a bit more open and having a bit more deeper understanding of what it's all about, can also see those similarities between different cultures and religions. So anyway, this is where it is at. And why I am sitting here is I just want to help, well, get help myself and then help in whatever way I can to share that with everyone who cares to look and listen here. That insight. You know, and it goes deep. That's what I realized, that, you know, that to go deep, 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 deep in yourself, down there into, you know, sometimes even when you start thinking about it, it feels, ooh, there's this thrilling, little scared feeling deep down there, you know, the existential feeling. Is there fear there, fear of death, or fear of this or that, or fear of this dangerous world where anything can happen, and fear of being rejected, or, you know, all these things we have in there, fear of getting lost and not understanding properly of myself and what, how to live. You know, this, all this that you can find down there. I think most of us. But then if you can just, and I do it all the time, I'm noticing these days, I'm just sitting here in front of Gandharva Girdhar and, oh, there you are, whew, finally back in reality again. And all these other things that seemed so important and sometimes scary or whatever, or magically attractive, you realize, come on, they are just the usual movements, causes and effects and things going on in this material world out there. They come and they go. You know, just by, if you find yourself sitting there in front of the altar, you can have, you, I hope you have an altar at home, and if you don't, then make one for yourself. It's so nice to have. Sit down in front of the altar which represents God here for you. Picture or murtis or whatever forms you prefer or impractical. and just, yes, here you are. Now I am in reality. Reality is right here in front of me and actually all around me and everything there is. I can relax again. I can... I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be bewildered anymore. You're just, please. Lead me where you want me to be. Help me to be the one I actually am. To simply become my real self again, which I always am anyway. And then, you know, when you are in that consciousness there, you are in touch with the Vaikuntha, the Goloka realm, and you realize more and more that that's where you are and have been all the time. You just dozed off for a little while and whew, helped me to wake up, to at least be a lucid dreamer and realize I'm just dreaming. I am not a product of this world. And that's what it's about. What do we find here in this beautiful Bhagavatam?